Welcome back to the lab. This is episode 188. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
We do have a couple of links about the topic on the show page. You can find that by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. Sounded super confident about those links, didn't I?
Yeah. do they exist right now?
Well, there was so much more interesting stuff, but I don't know. I was following the trail of info. I sort of forgot to write down the sites or reference.
There may be links.
And I can't find it again. It was a strange, deep. Yeah. Well, what's this episode about? I forgot. You've got notes.
Oh, I did. But now I'm in a dark living room.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're. That whole plan's gone to hell. All right. It's the Oligocene, which lasted from between 34 million years ago and 23 million years ago.
So, still a long time ago.
Still a long time. Dogs and cats.
Yes.
They were related. Well, first thing I want to say is, to be clear, because it kind of got lost in our horsing around, the earliest horses did live in forests. They just weren't tree climbers.
Okay.
But an example of a critter that was a tree climber at the time that is not now would be a dog.
Oh. Dogs were tree climbers. They'd be so happy nowadays. They'd go after the cat.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah.
Or the squirrel or whatever happened to catch their interest.
Yeah, when we were talking about the cats and dogs sort of diverging in the last epoch, they did, but they weren't quite cats and dogs yet. And we get the actual first feline or felid in this epoch. And some of the canids are running around. If you back up to the critters that they had diverged in the previous epoch. And then the evolution gets kind of interesting. You take the dogs, they had been climbing around in trees, and then they got down there on the ground.
And they liked it.
And they liked it. Yeah, and they liked more open areas. We don't have as much information on the cat-like critters because they rotting quicker on the forest floor.
Oh, the remains?
Yeah.
Okay. That's just what they do. They get down on the forest floor and they start rotting.
Yeah, but you go back that far to that epoch, and those critters that also gave us dogs gave us things like bears, and this is neat, seals.
Okay,
including the walrus. By
these things are all related. Oh, a bear versus a dog, El Hugo.
Yeah, well... Yeah, but I mean, that you can see pretty easily how they're kind of related animals.
But between a walrus, all they got is weight.
And teeth. You know, walrus tusks are like rat teeth.
Really?
And that they keep growing throughout their lifetime, and they are extended canines.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know a lot about teeth that I didn't know. Just a couple of days ago.
A lot to say about
teeth. We were talking about ruminants not having upper teeth in the front.
Yeah.
And that's the first time I'd heard about it, and I was kind of curious. And I dug into it, and I guess that's true. A lot of those even-toed ruminants, or ungulates, have reduced or even missing upper incisors. The incisors being, like, we've got four of them on the top and four of them on the bottom, the ones in the very front of your head.
Mm-hmm. Chomp, chomp.
Chomp, chomp, yeah.
Give me an apple, I'll prove it. And it's a weird picture in my head, animal without teeth there, you know?
Yeah, and I read about this, and I really want to look at a cow's mouth now, just to, like, look.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the truth? But, yeah, In this epoch, I'm good at talking. Dogs and cats, and the dog branch, or the branch that eventually led to dogs, also gave us the seals. They went in from an otter-like ancestor.
Nice.
And decided that they were better off with flippers than feet.
There's all sorts of food out there.
But never really entirely gave up on the land.
It's nice to hang out, catch some sun, be fat.
We also get the first toothed and baleen whales in this epoch. Or they just shown up a little bit before.
Are they big?
You know, I didn't actually look at the sizes. There was a general trend towards getting bigger in this time period.
Oh, finally. I mean, they were scared. Everything else that was big died. And let's get back to it. Mm-hmm.
The primates. I wanted to make something clear. In the last episode, I made it sound like they'd gone to Europe and North America and then to Africa. I actually have no idea what time they got to what continent. And I'm not sure about where the continents were at the time. I swear, like, what I'm reading makes it sound like we went way past where we thought we were when we were watching that animated map.
Mm-hmm.
And so, continents moving around the Drake Passage.
Yeah.
I was under the impression it opened up in the last epoch, but everything I'm reading now says it was this one.
Well,
and there seems to be a whole lot of argument over that. This is when South America broke away from Antarctica, that gap of water. They called it the Drake Passage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons maybe why things were getting so much colder. All sorts of argument about when it happened. Was it early? Was it later? Another thing that happened was the Tasmanian Passage between Australia and Antarctica. And everybody seems to agree that was 34 million years ago. Done.
Well, at least they care. You know? Somebody went out and figured there's nailed down that number.
Mm. Anyway, it was getting colder. We get really big, thick sheets of ice on Antarctica.
Mm.
Climate changed. And a lot of the tropical-like forest that had been all over the continents was getting replaced with deciduous forest.
Oh.
You know, kind of the trees we have in North America now, the non-evergreen, like oaks. And mm-hmm. That's my example. I can't think of maples. There are two. I have two examples.
Washington State, we have alders.
Yeah, but you know the trees.
Mm-hmm.
You're also getting more open spaces, including some deserts. And the grass finally got away from river and lakeside habitats and started to grow in those open areas.
I don't know what they figured it out, but they took to it.
Yeah.
You own the land.
Didn't really get big until the next epoch. But the animals started changing. Horses and their ilk and a lot of different animals got much better at running for some reason.
Hmm.
Almost like they couldn't hide anymore.
Oh, yeah. Grassland versus forest.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for it.
That totally looks delicious. Look at that. Just growing there. Just asking for it. I'm going for it. Another trend we got is increasing animal size. At least land. Seems like that was a trend in general, like during the Paleocene, they were headed towards a pretty good size. Mm. And then they got knocked back by an extinction event.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just went right back to trying to get bigger. We get the Paraceratherium.
Paraceratherium. Yeah, okay.
Which is one of the contenders for the largest mammal ever to roam the earth. Another one is a mammoth. But particular mammoth, but we'll talk about that later when it's actually that epoch.
Okay.
Now, there's a whole bunch of argument over exactly how big this thing got, but you figure around 20 feet at the shoulder, maybe about 30 feet long, and anywhere from 11 to 15 to maybe 20 tons, depending upon which guy you believe.
Ooh,
and this was this is a branch off of the family that eventually gave us rhinos.
A branch off of, so they didn't make it.
Yeah, well, yeah, the rhino family, that group, were all over in a whole lot of different niches, and the only one left is the rhino.
Hmm. He wins because he got the horn.
He got the horn, and that's another thing. Most of them did not have horns.
It's a lot of walking meat not to be armed with something.
And the Paraceratherium did not have a horn. So... Hmm.
Just open for business. Come and eat me. Yeah.
Well, by the time you're 15, 20 tons, I don't think you got to worry about that too much anymore.
Just sit on them.
We also get, they had a long neck, right? Mm. 6 to 8 feet long.
Oh, jeez.
They got, it's like kind of like a brontosaurus body.
Ah. Ah, okay, wait, yeah. It occurs to me that long necks were always kind of a thing. And the only buddy that only person that really held on to it was a giraffe. They walk around, people laugh at them, and they're like, yo, yo, a bunch of
queers. You ever seen an ostrich? There's a long neck for you.
I forgot about them. They're just weird.
And a snake. You could argue that's all neck.
Okay. That's a stretch.
No. All right, that's a stretch. You also get the first elephants with trunks in this period. There's a different way to go, right? Instead of the long neck, they grew out their nose. The other thing is that it seems to have to do with what they were eating. Like, there's the elephant, or the modern rhino, also. Modern rhino is low slung to the ground, so it can get its head down there. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Elephant's got that trunk so that it can be both big and tall and not have to bother with a long neck.
Ah, that's neat. Yeah, getting the mouth closer to the ground. There's a trend, too.
Yeah. The elephant is one of those critters that went towards this mammalian trend towards larger brain size.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know how that happened, because it doesn't seem inevitable. Because there are plenty of mammals that never bothered to get a very big brain.
Hmm.
But there's the elephant getting a very big brain size, so having a very heavy neck with a big fat brain on the end of a long neck is less practical than this, if you'll pardon it, how I put this, the handy-dandy trunk.
Well, I mean, as you get bigger, you move slower, right? Well, I know they can move at a fast pace, but a lot of their time is spent standing around eating grass. So yeah. Why not have a big brain? You can think about the world, ponder your existence. Decide about, you know, how long your trunk should be versus your neck.
You've got a lot to think about when you're an elephant.
Grass.
Anyway, I was looking into why these animals get so huge.
Right, you mentioned the stomach or the grass processing factory.
Yeah, well, there's the ruminants, right? They have a multi-chambered stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And they do most of their fermentation of their food. Now, this is a plant-eater thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, all mammals do it to some extent. You're letting the food get digested by microbes, mm-hmm. helping with their digestion. Ruminants do that towards the front, up there in the stomach. Critters like the Parastheratherium and modern elephants and rhinos, they do most of their gut fermentation in the large intestines.
Yeah.
And looking at the chambered stomach is actually much better at getting most of the nutrition out. But the long intestine fermentation is faster.
Huh. Okay. It's an obvious trade-off. But
somehow, I mean, that mathematically, like, the bigger you are, the more food you can just pump through your...
So going through there as fast as you can.
Yep. And there was stuff I was going to talk about teeth, but I think I'm going to save that for the next episode. Because that's when it really matters, especially to all those species of horses that didn't make it. But we'll talk about that next time. See you then.
Bye.